Our sermon text this morning is Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Mark chapter 4. On your house Bible is on page 839. And he said to them, "Is the lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away."
You have for us, we trust that what we have in your word to be preached today is for us today. So we pray that as we listen, you would help our hearts see and hear what you would have us see and hear. Encourage us, enlighten us, convict us, redirect us by your Spirit through your word preached in a power that no man, no woman could achieve on their own, not even ourselves, for ourselves. Would you enlighten us and give us understanding? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We love you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, everyone has a different tolerance to light in a given moment. I don't know if you are aware of this, but the lead singer for the band U2, whose name is Bono, which is actually a nickname, I don't know his real name. I don't think anyone does. Stand corrected. One person here does. Always wearing sunglasses everywhere he goes, every room, every concert that he's in. He has a sensitivity to light. So he's not just trying. I used to think, man, that guy is so pretentious. He wears sunglasses everywhere he goes. He has a condition in his eyes. He's sensitive to light. And we're all sensitive to light at some point, in some ways. You ever find yourself fast asleep in the morning in your bed and some dear, kind soul turns the lights completely on in the room? Maybe in the middle of the night, maybe first thing in the morning, wakes you up. How do you feel about light in that moment? Not so great. Maybe you have different feelings about coming out of a movie theater. You've been sitting in the dark theater. You walk out. It's a bright, sunny day. Some people go, "Ah, the light." Some people go, "Ah, the light." What Jesus is getting at in Mark chapter 4 is that the light is being turned on in the world, and you will be judged by how you judge the light. The light is being turned on in the world, and we will all be judged by how we respond to the light. So Jesus is saying in this passage, pay attention. First, he's saying, pay attention to yourself and to how you're responding to the light. Pay attention to what you're seeing, to what you're hearing. Because the light is on. Jesus has come into the world and flipped the light on, as it were. So that brings us to a question. How are you going to respond to the light? Like someone turned the light on in your room and rudely woke you up? Or thankful? Thankful because someone turned the light on in your darkness. I think this is a wonderfully timed passage for this week, because part of what Jesus is telling everyone, as he told his hearers here, his disciples first, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. This passage is another Mark and another Mark sandwich, just like chapter 4, verse 1 through 20, there is a middle. So if you look in the passage there, Mark 24, 21 through 25, there are two verses at the front, two sentences in 21 and 22. Then verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then verse 24 and 25, more explanation, more commentary. Jesus is once again commenting on this age-old phrase, as we saw last week from beginning to end of the Bible, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Or if you have eyes to see, you should keep seeing, you should see. Hearing and seeing are going to be synonyms this morning. Sometimes I'll be talking about hearing, sometimes I'll be talking about seeing. It's a phrase, a same way to talk about the same thing two different ways. But it's helpful that what Jesus is saying in this passage is for you, for me, and especially those here in this text, to pay attention. Pay attention. I think this is a great time of year to hear this message. It's a good week to pay attention to your soul. I've heard a few comedians this week do bits about this being a weird time of year between Christmas and New Year's. We never know what day it is. We don't know what to do this week. We don't know if we're supposed to go to week at work. We're supposed to stay at home. It's the end of the year. I think it's a great week to pay attention. Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to the gospel. Pay attention to where you are with the Lord. Maybe you have more time this week to pay attention than you usually do. Look there in verse 24. Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. That word for pay attention is see. The kind of seeing where you intently see on purpose, but it is seeing. So in a way, Jesus is saying, see what you hear. Look at what you are hearing. You're hearing things from me. You're seeing things that I'm doing. You're hearing of Christ. You're seeing of Christ. Look at that. Pay attention to it. Let me just ask you, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention to what Jesus is saying and doing? Have you given it much thought lately? Are you carefully thinking about it? That's a great passage for the end of the year for you to think about. Am I paying attention? Maybe this week, this would just be some of the best instruction for you to make sure that in your life, you're paying attention to Jesus. You're paying attention to His words. Maybe there would be a day. Our kids have already heard from me. At our house today, there are no screens. I think it would be harder for me than anyone to obey that rule. No TV, no football, no screens, no phones. Put your phone down. So if some of you text me or call me today, hopefully I don't answer. Go no screens and pay attention to your soul. Slow down to look at your own soul and to look what Jesus is saying. What a sad, sad tale to stare at the light of your screen and to miss the light of the sun. Whether you're a believer, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, it might be helpful to you to plan to read some of the Bible. Just plan to read the Bible. This is that time of year where you're wondering, do I bother planning to read the Bible again next year? Should I plan to read the whole Bible? Should I plan a new reading schedule? Yes. Yes. Here's what I would say. Plan it every January. And if you only make it till March, plan it again next December. Keep doing it. I saw a wonderful quote this year. It's continued to encourage me as someone who struggles in this myself. Blessed is the man who never stops starting family devotion. And blessed is the Christian who never stops restarting their devotion to the Lord. Reading God, paying attention to what He's saying, paying attention to themselves. Maybe you would go to someone this week, and one of the ways to pay attention to your soul would be asked, I don't know if you guys have the courage to do this or not. Go to someone really close to you and say, how have you seen me paying attention to Christ and to the gospel this last year? That's one way to pay attention to yourself. Go ask someone else, how have you seen me, best you can tell, paying attention to Jesus' words and to His life in the last year? Jesus is saying, see what you hear. Put eyes on your heart. Put eyes on the words of Jesus' mouth. Pay attention to the light that you have, the light of Christ, and how you are responding to it. Be careful how you are listening to what you are hearing. I think it's a great message for this time of year. Jesus is saying the light is on. The light is on. Pay attention. The light is on. Look what he says in verse 21 through 22. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." Now, this is a wonderful, silly, universal illustration and principle. A lamp is not brought into the house to be put in a basket or put under the bed. That would be silly. Imagine moving to a new home. The movers are moving in all of your lamps. That goes right under the bed. Plug it in, put it under the bed. It sounds stupid. It sounds stupid to even say as an illustration because it's so silly. But that's Jesus' point. Wouldn't that be so ridiculous to take your light and put it in the closet, to hide it? It's ridiculous. Well, that's what Jesus is saying about his ministry. That's his part of his explanation about the parables from last week, chapter 4. Many hear but don't hear. Many see but don't see. And in some ways, he's teaching in parables to make that happen. But Jesus is clarifying, I'm not coming. I want you to be clear. I am not coming to be put under a basket. That explanation of Isaiah 6 in the current moment does not explain what I've come to do. Jesus has come casting out demons. Jesus has come healing the lame and the blind and the sick. Jesus has come teaching in parables. In a way, at Mark chapter 4, Jesus is still hidden. Who is he? Why is he here? What does he ultimately want to do? And remember, there's multiple ways that Jesus is hiding what he's doing on purpose. He's teaching in parables so that people don't understand all the things that he's teaching just yet. Remember, he's been telling the demons to be quiet. The demons are the ones in Mark 1 through 3 who know exactly who Jesus is. You are the Holy One, the Son of God. Jesus says, you guys need to be quiet to the demons. And how often when he was healing people, did he tell them, now don't go tell anyone what just happened. But now we need to know something. We have something greater than they had in Mark chapter 4. It has actually come to light who Jesus is. This has helped me. You have to think about the book of Mark, really all the Gospels, but especially the way Mark is writing the Gospel of Mark, as the Gospel on a dimmer switch. Anybody have a dimmer switch in their house where you can fade the light really low? I mean, that's us. We have one of those in our bathroom. It's so great. Wake up first thing in the morning. You don't turn all the light on. You just enough to go from dark to light. That's how the Gospel of Mark is working. It turns up, and then as the Gospel of Mark goes along, that dimmer switch gets turned up and up and up and up. Who is Jesus? What is he here to do? Every chapter continues to add, and we see people respond to that light through the book of Mark. And Jesus said, listen, I'm not hiding anything, look at verse 22, except that it's going to be made manifest. I'm not keeping anything secret except that it's going to come to light. This is first and foremost about what he is doing in his ministry. I'm telling you guys, everything is going to come to light. And what we need to know now, today, in the year 2025, is that it has come to light. The lights have been turned on. The dimmer switch has been fully flipped up to as bright as it is going to go. In Mark, listen, we have chapters 1 through 3. The demons know who Jesus is. We're seeing the power of Jesus in miracles. But who is Jesus? Who is he? What is he ultimately here to do? That's going to come out slowly through the book of Mark. And it comes out slowly through history, from Genesis to the Gospels. There's a seed of a woman in Genesis chapter 3 who's going to crush the head of Satan. But who is that? And what is that going to look like? There's going to be a son of David. There's going to be a prophet like Moses. There's going to be a high priest. Who is this? What are you talking about? And now that Jesus has come and died on the cross, risen from the grave, promised to return and send his Holy Spirit to minister into the world, the light is totally, fully flipped on. It has been made manifest. Jesus' purpose, his identity, his ultimate goals have been made known. They have been made manifest in the world. So know that what Jesus told his disciples and followers in Mark 4, that something is going to be made manifest, it has now been made manifest. He was telling them to pay careful attention to what they are hearing. More, as we see there in verse 24, more is going to be added. More is going to be added. You guys have heard things, but keep listening. This is just Mark 4. We got a lot of chapters left where the dimmer switch is going to go up through the book of Mark. But for us, the light has been turned on. Here's where we are now. Here's how Peter describes our time on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection. 2 Peter 1, we have a prophetic word more fully confirmed than all the Old Testament, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Pay attention to our words. They are, the apostles are saying now, the same ones that he was talking to in Mark 4, later can say, the light is on, everyone should listen to what we're saying about Jesus. Because what happened in Mark 4 is the beginning of Jesus fully manifesting who he was. Ultimately, through his prediction of dying on the cross, then his death on the cross, then his raising from the dead, then his ascending into heaven, where he is alive today so that we can see full. It's like Jesus is the hero at the end of the movie where he's kind of been shrouded in, you know, like normal people clothes the whole movie, you know? And then at the end, I was the king the whole time, and I'm here to save and bring my kingdom. That's what Jesus has been doing. Now, on this side of his death, resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, now he's fully manifested. The light has fully been turned on. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, don't find yourself too discouraged about the darkness in the world. Go back and remember, as the country song would say, every light in the house is on. Everything's turned on. There's not another light switch for Jesus to go flip in the world so that you can have light. The brightest light that he can shine, that we can have in the history of the world, is Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension for us. That is the light totally brightly shining, turned on. If you're here today and you came here not a believer, not trusting in Christ, what does it mean to hear about Jesus, to trust Jesus? Well, it's kind of like turning a light on. It's kind of like turning a light on in a dark room. I can't see. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. The world doesn't make sense. I don't make sense. Why do I feel so guilty? Why am I so ashamed? What's God doing in the world? Light switch. God sent Jesus to die for my sins. God raised Jesus from the dead. He didn't just come to do a few miracles here and there and like do a little show. He didn't just come to cast out demons. He came to die for my sin and overcome Satan himself. He came to overcome death itself. Oh, the light has been switched on. That's what God's doing. That's what God was planning for and talking about all the way from Genesis through the Old Testament. This is what Jesus hasn't revealed yet by his own ministry in Mark 4, but he's going to make manifest when you see him die on the cross and raise from the dead. Oh, if you're looking for a light, look to the cross where God's own Son was crucified for your sins. Look to the resurrection where Jesus raised from the dead. Look to Jesus' ascension where he is now eternally alive and will never die again. There's a light that has been turned on. I think this is wonderful news. I think it means, in part, now there are no more secrets about Jesus. There's no more secrets about Jesus. There's no, like, I wonder what's behind that. I wonder what God's doing. We have the fullness of assurance of the knowledge of God's mystery in Christ. It's not mysterious anymore. We can actually know what God is doing, what he's up to in the world. Jesus, you ever have those people that you meet, and the more you get to know them, the more you realize you didn't really meet them the first time you met them? Jesus is kind of like that through the Gospel of Mark. You meet him, and he's healing people. You meet him, and he's casting out demons, but who is this guy? What's he doing? And it just gets better and better and better. He's the Son of God, come to be crucified for our sins. The more you learn about Jesus, the better that he gets. And we realize now on this side of Jesus raising from the dead and having his promises to return and build his kingdom here on earth forever, there's nothing else. We know. The light has been fully turned on. We can rest in that and trust that. But the light is on. Pay attention. The light has been turned on. Pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. In all of history, there is no brighter light shining than Jesus' birth by a virgin, by the Holy Spirit, than his life of righteousness with no sin. There's no greater light than God's love on the cross for you. There's no greater light than him raising from the dead, showing he can conquer death and save us from death. There's no greater light than him ascending to heaven to show that where he reigns now and lives now is in heaven itself and earth. That he's been given authority, as he said, over all of heaven and earth. There's no greater light that God can give us than to shine the light of Jesus Christ, his own Son, in the world. You can look back through the whole Bible. You think about that. Well, man, what Moses parted the Red Sea and we had all the plagues. That was amazing. That's not Jesus. It pales in comparison to God coming in the flesh himself. All the miracles of the prophets, and we've got Elijah and the fire from heaven, and you know, the wet bulls and all that. We've got donkeys talking. We have all these things. We even have the demons being healed, the things that Jesus did himself. We have those are all little lights. Those are all little lights. Those are all like Christmas lights. We're going to take them down. You should take your Christmas lights down, by the way. At some point between now and like May. Every other light that God has ever given us pales in comparison to the sun in the sky, Jesus himself. If you don't have a light, if you're looking in your life and you're like, I don't have a light. It's just dark. Look to Christ. Look to Christ, who's God's Son, crucified for your sins, risen from the dead. And there is hope and there is meaning in the world. The whole world will only increasingly make sense when the light of Christ shines on your heart and on your spouse and on your workplace, even on evil itself. Everything starts to make sense by the light of Christ. Pay attention to yourself, to the light. The light is fully turned on in Jesus Christ. The only question remaining is, how are you going to respond to the light? How are you responding to the light? Whether you're a Christian or not, how are you responding to the light? Look what he says in verse 24. As the dimmer switch is being turned up in the book of Mark, right? You know, and if we've got, let's say there's 10 notches on the dimmer switch of the book of Mark, from, you know, never heard of Jesus to the light is fully on post-resurrection. We know everything from Jesus' revelation about himself and his life. You know, the point of Mark 4, you know, maybe we should just say it's like 16 notches, because Mark, 16 chapters. You know, we're on notch 4. Like, this is early on in the dimmer switch. And yet, look what Jesus is telling his crowd and his disciples who are following him in verse 24. He's saying to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you see. Pay attention to the light that you have been given up to this point. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You guys ever go to the grocery store lately and have to weigh something at the grocery store? This always baffled me. I thought we have significantly progressed me having to do anything at the grocery store. I got to weigh my own fruit and then tell you how much you should charge me. I don't understand why are we doing that? Why don't we just package it up? Why don't you guys weigh it before I get there and I'll just grab it and I'll just scan it and go? But this is kind of what Jesus is referencing. Your measuring of it. This is a word for the marketplace. You have two sides of a scale. You're going to put, you know, a pound over here, and you put a pound of, you know, strawberries. I think it's a lot of strawberries probably on this side, and if, you know, weighs out, you're measuring to see how much is there and what's there. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. How are you measuring what you have seen and heard? How are you measuring what you've seen and heard from Jesus Christ? How are you measuring what you've seen and heard from God's Word? Is there any weight to it for you? Or is it a very light thing to you? Jesus is saying, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You weigh as much as you measure God's Word. God looks at us and measures us by how we measure what He has shown us. I don't know how you think of yourself. The more I do counseling, the more I talk to people in the world, the more I get to know myself, which is often hard. The more I see even the worst victim in the world, the more I see over and over and over, we tend to think really high of ourselves. We tend to put a lot of weight on who we are. It doesn't matter how bad you know you are, you could still believe that, you know, deep down I'm really good and I did a few good things. You put a lot of weight on your own goodness. How much weight do you measure Jesus and what He said, what He's done? The measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And He even says in verse 24, the next thing, and still more will be added to you. This is kind of tough because it's conditional and it's promising. Jesus is telling them, you guys, what you do with what you're hearing today in the time of Mark 4, that's going to measure who you are. Going back to the parable of the sower and the seed, what you do with what you hear will show who you are. Over time, will you endure through persecution? What you do with what you're hearing now is going to show who you are, and that's going to be measured back to you. But He adds, and still more is being added to you. I'm going to keep showing you more and more and more and more, and you're going to have to measure more and more and more of what I'm saying, more revelation. Jesus is going to get there in a few chapters where He finally affirms to them, I am the Christ, and I'm going to suffer and die. And His disciples are going to be measured by, how do they measure that? Because as soon as they hear that Jesus is going to suffer and die, they're like, you're crazy. I'll never let you die. That's ridiculous. They don't understand. We're measured by our measuring, and Jesus is telling them more light is coming. Which means if the light is on today, if the light has been turned on to its fullness, Jesus has been revealed fully as the Son of God. He's already died on the cross for our sins. He's already risen from the grave. Then how more significant is our measuring of the light that we have seen? How much greater is the potential judgment for us mismeasuring what we have heard and what we have seen? We have more light than they did in Mark chapter 4. The dimmer is all the way up now. How are you measuring the fullness of the brightest light in Jesus Christ? To reject Jesus, to disbelieve in Him, is like rejecting the brightest light. It's like closing your eyes to the light of the sun, saying, I'm going to walk around this world with my eyes closed. I'm going to walk around this whole, every day, everything I do, everywhere I go, I'm going to close my eyes and choose darkness over letting the sun show me where. Just try it. Just try to get to your car today with your eyes closed from your seat right now. You won't do that. You wouldn't even try it. How foolish of us to reject the light of Christ, who is God's brightest light in the history of the world. Imagine walking into a room filled with light and being so dull and so spiritually, so hardened that you walk into a bright room and you say, Why is it so dark in here? Why is it so dark in here? How are you responding to the light of Jesus Christ in the world? You recognize it as light. Do you rejoice in Him as light? Friends, know the great problem in our world is not that God has not shown enough light, but that the great light has come and we have refused to see it. The more light about Jesus we see, the better and the worse that it gets. The more light that we see about Jesus, the better and the worse that it gets. Better in this sense, as the book of Mark goes along, and as you learn and hear about all that Jesus has done, His miracles, His healing, but also His dying on the cross, His raising from the grave, His promises to return and make everything right, both by judging sinners and by saving the saints, those who follow Him, the more you learn about Jesus, the brighter that light gets. And the clearer the whole world becomes. The more you learn about Jesus, the better He gets. And yet, the more you hear about Jesus and the more you reject Him, the more damning that measuring becomes. That's an even heavier measurement against you because you've been shown an even greater light and you refused to even see that. And just think about it. If you were to reject the miracles up to this point in Mark 1 through 3, I reject the miracles. I don't even believe in miracles. I don't believe Jesus is actually casting them out, but casting out demons. I mean, what do you lose? If you're living in that time in Mark 4, what do you lose? Well, you might not be healed of your sickness. Your cousin might not have their demon cast out. Oh, that's not good. You'd be missing something that Jesus is offering in the time. But what if we today reject the light that Jesus is God's Son, came to be crucified for our sins? What if we reject the light of Jesus being raised from the dead? What if we reject the light of Jesus eternally living forever in heaven? What if we reject that light? It is a worse rejection than them rejecting Jesus in Mark chapter 4. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 3. Everyone's heard John 3:16, don't forget John 3:19. This is the judgment. This is the judgment in the world. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. We hid from the light. We hide from the light because it exposes our sin. Well, let it expose your sin. Let the light of Jesus Christ, who He is and what He's done, expose everything about you and come to Him in trust that this is the light, that Jesus died for your sins, that Jesus was crucified for you. And then glory in the light of Christ. Don't reject the greatest light. Glory in the light of Christ. Christians here today who are trusting Christ know you are only ever in danger of underappreciating the light that we have in Christ. We are only ever in danger of underappreciating the light that we have in Christ. We are never in danger of speaking too highly of Jesus, having affections too high for Jesus, having too much knowledge of who Jesus, too much light, too much. We're only ever in danger of underappreciating, of living with the dimmer kind of turned down in our lives, as if we were back in Mark 4. We didn't know who Jesus was. We didn't know what Jesus was coming to do. I would hope that you Christians, especially today, and maybe if you're here for the first time, would begin basking in all of the light that we have in Jesus Christ. Enjoying all of the light that we have in Jesus Christ. This is the constant pull of the New Testament for Christians. For Christians themselves to know what they have in the light of Jesus Christ. Look with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is trying to help the church live as the church, trying to help them grow as Christians. And there's a section here in the book of Ephesians. You can find parallel versions in the book of Galatians, especially Colossians, other places in the New Testament, often where the writers of the New Testament are trying to get the church to get the gravity, to get the immensity and the fullness of the gospel they're believing. It's one thing to try to get non-Christians to understand and believe the gospel. It's a whole other thing the New Testament often spends trying to get Christians to believe and understand the gospel that they're believing. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Read all the way through 23 and just listen to how Paul is yearning and praying for the church to see and know what they have in Jesus Christ. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And this is his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, exposure, knowledge, revealing in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. You people who are already Christians, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you can see, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. And then listen, Paul doesn't here just stop and say, so I'm just praying that that happens. He tells them the things that he's praying for them to see, knowing that even when he tells it to them out loud, he's going to tell them what he's praying for them to know. But only when God helps them see can they really see. Will they really get it? That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, heaven, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. There's so many passages like this where the pull of the New Testament is for Christians to come and know the light that they're trusting, to grow in it, to pay attention, and to see the fullness of the light that has now been manifested. We saw it in Colossians chapter 1, for example. We see it in passages where he says, Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's telling Christians, you need to know, you, when you became a Christian and started trusting Jesus, you were transferred from the domain of darkness And instead of saying to the domain of light, you are transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Why does the New Testament keep talking to Christians like this? We tend, out of our own ignorance, our own tiredness, our own temptation to sin, we tend, out of our immaturity, out of our lack of faith, we tend to dim the lights. We tend to turn down the very light that was given to us. Sometimes by not believing. Christians cannot believe. Christians can go through seasons where their faith is low, non-existent. They're not believing what God said. They're forgetting, believing other things instead. We tend sometimes to dim the lights by going backwards in the gospel. We go backwards to from Mark 16, we go back to Mark 4. We go back to Mark 1 through 3. We go back to Exodus. And we think, man, wish it was like that. I mean, wish we had those things. Wish we could see demons being cast out. Wish we could see miracles like they were seeing. We wish we had all those things. And it's like, that's dimming the light down. Why would you go backwards in history? Why would you turn out all the lights in your house and then go light a candle? It makes no sense. But we go back and we pursue those things when the fullness of the light, the fullness of who Jesus is that he was God's Son, predicted by the prophets, crucified for sin, raised from the dead, and will one day return. What he did on the cross, who he is as God's Son, the fullness of light. Anything less is us just dimming the lights. Some of us never grow, though, in learning Christ. Some of us never grow in learning Christ. You know, there are so many different levels of flashlights. We have one of my sons. I'm not going to say which one he is, but he's 15. He has multiple flashlights. And sometimes those flashlights have come into my possession because of how they get used. Shining in people's faces. Always, you know, walking in the hallway. You know, just... This child, for some reason, has like these 9,000 lumen flashlights. You know, it's like turning on the sun in your living room. But some of us still have those little kid flashlights that you get when you're 2 or 3 years old, your first flashlight. Just enough light so that you can go, oh, there's a light. Isn't that fun? But nobody's taking that thing camping. No one's using that to get from the garage to the car at night. It doesn't actually do much. Some of us are dimming the light of Christ because we're still living in the immaturity. We're still thinking Jesus is a little light. And we've not yet grown in all that Christ is and what Christ has done. In some ways, our light is only Mark 1 through 3 big. Yeah, Jesus did a lot of amazing things. He did a lot of wonderful things. What does he mean? Who is he? What has he done? I haven't studied that in a while. I haven't looked at that light in a while. Well, that's just like turning the light down, not really knowing. So the New Testament is constantly teaching us, I think what Jesus is teaching us here in Mark chapter 4, pay attention to the light that you've been given. Pay attention to what you've heard. And we, today, have the light fully turned on. We see everything Jesus came to do. We have the whole gospel of him being God's Son crucified for us. I want to encourage you, the end of this year, coming into next year, to put the dimmer all the way up. Turn it up in your life. Jesus has turned it up for us. Jesus died for you to know him. He rose from the dead so that you can know him, that you can trust him, that you can find comfort in him, that you can be corrected by him and directed and given direction in life by him. So Christian, pay attention. Maybe look at the last year. Maybe spend some time today, maybe this next week, looking at the last year. Was I paying attention to the light well this year? And not to feel guilty, but to have awareness, to have clarity. was I actually going back to the gospel more often. You know, the new year, I don't know. I feel like every year I go back and forth. Some years I'm like, oh, I'm so happy it's new year. New things, big things. Yay, it's new year. Other years I'm like, it doesn't matter. You know, December 31st, January 1st, they're just 2 days on the calendar. It doesn't matter. But I think there's a sense in which I can't get away from some kind of new year, new things, new me, lose weight, eat better. Something good's gonna happen next year. I tend to be kind of an optimist, I think. It's gonna be good. Something great's gonna happen. Something great's gonna come out of this. But make sure that your ambition for next year would be to pay careful attention to the light that you've been given. Listen to Jesus' words in Mark 4. Let them resonate with us. Pay attention to what you've heard. Pay attention to the light that you've been given. Turn on the light to its fullest. Instead of just having some New Year's vibes, spend some time today, spend some time this week explicitly thanking God for the gospel light of Jesus Christ. Maybe that would mean for you reading a book that you would not ordinarily read. Whether it's a book in the Bible, just read through the Bible. Or maybe it's one of the books in our office upstairs on Christ. Maybe you would just double down your efforts to be in the Bible with other people this next year. I need to find someone to go through the Gospels, to go through God's Word one-on-one with. I need to be opening the Bible. I need to be turning the light on in my life more often so that I see the fullness of what Christ, what was promised in the Old Testament, what He has achieved in the New Testament, what promises await for us now. I need to continue to look at the light more and more and more. And you've never done that. Or a small group, or a men's and women's group on Sunday, on Wednesday evening where I'm going, I'm just coming to the light. I'm like a moth. That light turns on and I just go straight to it. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Well, how are you weighing the light of Jesus Christ and why? You came in today not really trusting Jesus, knowing Jesus. Just think, if it were true that Jesus is God's Son, that He did all those miracles in Mark 1 through 3, but then He died on the cross so that everything you've ever done wrong could be forgiven. And then He raised from the dead to show that He's conquered death itself, our greatest enemy, our punishment for our sin. He's conquered that. If that's true, then what greater hope is there in the world? And why would you reject that? So what are you going to do with the light that's been given to you? Pursue it and grow in it and pay attention to it? You're looking at next year going, I want to grow in God's Word on purpose. I want to pay attention to the light that's been given to me. Different beings respond to the light differently. You ever turn the garage light on in the middle of the night and see creatures responding to the light? You ever had this experience? I know you have. Turn the light on immediately, quickly, darting away from the door where you're about to step. What is it? Some of you are shivering already. Roach. Light comes on. Bam. Gotta go hide. Never be seen. Or a rat. You know? Goes to hide. The light comes on. You go hide. I would encourage you to pay attention to your life. Pay attention to the light. And respond to the light of the sun like my dog does. It's one of the things that gives me peace when I see it happen. Sunny day. Doesn't matter how warm it is. Dog's been inside where it's usually cold for him. Sunny day, he gets outside. The deck has been collecting some heat for a while. There's no clouds, no trees in our backyard. And the dog will just go back, walk a circle or two on the deck, and just plop right down on the wood, stretch his legs out, and just soak in the sun. And even if I'm like, well, I'm not going out there because it's Texas and it's 147, looking at him do that makes me want to. Gives me some kind of peace. What a joy to just rest in the light Get out of the dark and enjoy it. Pay attention to the light. For some of us, we need to give some attention to our paying attention. In ancient times, to turn on a light was a little bit different than how we turn on lights today. When we turn on a light, we just turn the light on. Isn't that great? Have you been thankful for that lately? When you go home and you turn the lamp on and you turn the light on, just think, man, that's great. So good to have light and just turn light on. Because the crowd that Jesus was talking to in Mark 4, they did not have that. They may or may not have oil lamps in their home. So if you get up in the middle of the night, you got to go find an oil lamp. And you better hope that someone kept it on, because if not, you're going to have to go find someone else's flame, which you'll be doing in the dark, to light your oil lamp. You're going to have to find some way to light that oil in that lamp. And Jesus is telling that audience, pay attention to what you've heard. Pay attention to the light that you've been given. Pay attention. There's going to be some attention required. I would just encourage you to do what Jesus called us to do. Pay attention to what you've heard. Pay attention to the light that you've heard. Maybe this afternoon, that would mean, if nothing else this week, and there's no other application to this whole sermon in your whole life ever, maybe just go home and today, for a few hours, pay attention to the light in God's Word. Just go give it some attention and apply it to your heart. Let's pray. God, thank you for today, for your grace to us in Christ, and for this, your word, that you have for us today. We pray that it will achieve all of its ends. Do you mean for it by your providence that we would hear it today? Encourage us, convict us, enlighten our minds and our hearts to the truth of Jesus. Father, if we came here unbelieving, we pray that you would help us leave today, considering and maybe believing, maybe at least just curious, what's going on? And if we come here today and we trust in Christ for a long time, we pray that you would help us pay attention to what we've heard. We have the light fully revealed. Help us enjoy it. Help us pay attention to it. Thank you, Father, for loving us through your Son. Despite the darkness in us, despite the darkness in the world, you have shown a great light. We pray that you would help us enjoy it. We love you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.